now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I want to talk about the military and the suggestion that the military has everything under control, that the military has got all these people under arrest, all these crooks and criminals under arrest and detention, and everything is under control. And I just wanted to give some perspective about that. There seems to be, amongst those who still have, and there's nothing wrong with hope, like I've said before, many times before, nothing wrong with hope, but there seems to be an element of kicking the can further down the road. After it was clear the election was stolen, there was hope that it would come good because the Supreme Court would fix things, the Congress would fix things, Vice President Pence would fix things. All the abundant evidence that had been amassed of the election theft was going to be released. The declassification process was going to result in the release of thousands of documents publicly showing high-level crime on the part of traitorous politicians, and nothing came out of any of that, as far as I could see. And January 6th has come and gone. The inauguration of Digital Joe took place. And to be sure, there are a lot of anomalies if taken at face value. Some of the stories that we've heard about Biden or Digital Joe or Pedo Joe or whichever Joe it is not being allowed to fly on Air Force One. And then now all the anomalies surrounding the White House. The presence of the military still in and around Washington, D.C. The idea that Bezos, the sewer scum Amazon CEO, who apparently has resigned or retired or whatever, basically pissed off with his $168 billion or whatever his fortune is worth, he's gone to hide out somewhere, and there's a suggestion that Digital Joe's or Pedo Joe or whoever is masquerading as the President of the United States, because it's all a charade, it's all a facade, it's all fake anyway, that Biden is not really being filmed at the White House. There's a lot of anomalies surrounding that, and there's been some good analysis by people. You have strange things showing up outside of what's supposed to be the White House. You see vehicles parked, and you see things outside the windows in what's supposed to be the White House or the Oval Office, which you didn't see before. Now, what I would ask is, if the intention on the part of the blues slash the modern-day, latter-day Bolsheviks, if the intention was to continue to fool the American public about the presidency, about the fact that the election was stolen, but they're going to gaslight us anyway and just continue with this charade of and go through the motions of an actual presidency with Digital Joe, with Pedo Joe. My question would be, why would they make these discrepancies so obvious? these anomalies. Outside the window, there's a vehicle parked there. And then these photos leak out of all these cameramen and media and photographers going in to what's supposed to be the Oval Office, but it isn't the Oval Office. And then it raises a lot of questions, as of course they would. All these incidences, all these anomalies. And it stokes all this curiosity and, once again, all this hope that maybe the military really is in control. But for whatever reason, this controlled media is still allowed to continue with this charade of this fakery. What I have to ask is, why would they make it so obvious? These anomalies and discrepancies, which any sharp-eyed individual would notice, right? Because if they just wanted to continue to fool the public, which is not too difficult to do, all they would have had to do was do a close-up of Digital Joe at the podium, or supposedly seated behind his desk at the White House. But instead, they... And I do find it hard to believe that they would simply forget and just not make allowance for these discrepancies and anomalies which are so noticeable. Is it possible that they, in their arrogance, that they thought, well, nobody will notice and who cares anyway, we're in charge? Yes, of course that's possible. But I just have to wonder why they didn't make a better effort at making these discrepancies less obvious, doing more editing, tightening up the act, if you will, right? But instead, they film all this stuff, put it out into the public domain, and now I just got all these wheels spinning in the minds of a lot of people. And in a way, it reminds me of these, and I spoke about this before in some of my band-censored videos on YouTube, about the hybrid hoaxed events, right? These were events where people really were killed. Think of Manchester, England. Think of Mandalay Bay. But in the minutes and hours after these mass casualty events, the internet is flooded with all these posts and screenshots of Craigslist want ads for crisis actor volunteers in the same locations where these hybrid hoax mass casualty events occurred. And I call them hybrid hoax because it's a hybrid. The killings, the mass murder, the shootings, or the charges going off, as in the case in Manchester, or a very big charge, a single charge, was real enough, and there were real casualties. But what was allowed to go out into the public domain from the standpoint of social media were items of interest that would tend to lead people in a direction of, this is just a hoax. Similar to Aurora, Colorado, similar to Sandy Hook, which I believe were absolute hoaxes. No one was killed, no one was shot, there was no mass casualty event. Everything was staged. With Mandalay Bay and with Manchester, the two that come to mind in particular, literally minutes and hours after these events, the internet was flooded with screenshots of, like, Craigslist, in the case of America, and some of the hybrid hoax cases in America. I don't know what the equivalent of Craigslist would be in the UK. But also, all these photos are showing up on the internet, like those infamous photos which were clearly staged, purporting to be from Mandalay Bay. the Harvest Festival, the concert there, where you have these three people. There was a guy and I think two women, and they were kind of ducking and cowering near a stage, and there was litter on the ground, and there was no one else to be seen. Completely fake. Another one that comes to mind, Boston Marathon. You have all these fake, there were real amputees, but they had fake wounds. The guy in the wheelchair being pushed along, and his leg is supposedly blown off, but it was fake because that would have been a catastrophic loss of blood. The guy would have died. And it turned out that the guy that was being pushed in the wheelchair for the photo op was a veteran. Either he had his leg blown off in Iraq or Afghanistan or someplace. And a number of these amputees, war veterans, they're part of a pool that whenever they need crisis actors to portray people severely wounded in mass casualty event drills, right, they hire these people who are amputees who lost their limbs either through combat or some kind of some incident or misfortune in a combat zone or in civilian life where they suffered some kind of severe wound or trauma, wound up losing one or more limbs, right? Well, the guy that was being pushed along in the wheelchair in the photo op for the Boston Marathon, clearly that was a staged event. The only ones that were killed, as far as I know, were the two brothers that were, or at least one of the brothers, that were set up as patsies in that whole Boston bombing psychodrama, the Boston bombing marathon. So the point of relevance, what the point I'm trying to make is, sharp-eyed individuals who know about the history of false flags, who know about deep state type manipulation and of events and the mass media portrayal of such events, they can spot and suss out these hoaxes, or in some cases hybrid hoaxes, where people were killed but then they flood the internet with all these fake photos purporting to come from the mass casualty event. Craigslist want ads are suddenly flooding the internet. And for those people that lack discernment and are not good researchers, the term that they use is clickbait, I think it is, right? Something shows up on someone's newsfeed and click like, click share. And then the meme is pushed and begins to go around, it's a hoax, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. And of course, the intention is for the media to all point and say, these heartless truthers, people really were killed at these events, but they're saying it was all just a hoax, right? And then that will tend to really piss off the families of the people killed or wounded in these mass casualty events, because all these heartless truthers are out there just labeling it a hoax, right? That's how these psyops work. Remember what Sun Tzu said, all warfare is based on deception. All warfare, I would add that all effective warfare is based on deception. And so, we go back to Digital Joe. And all these discrepancies and anomalies associated with his new presidency. Yes, it's going to set tongues wagging. Yes, it's going to get the wheels spinning in the minds of many people that are aware of the election fraud or aware of hoaxes and false flags and deep state machinations. But what I would say at this point is, it's nothing for me, and I can't speak for everyone else. I can only speak for myself. It's nothing for me to hang my hat on. Just because there's some anomalies associated with the location of where Biden or Digital Joe is being filmed, and the fact that there's photos of him signing blank sheets of paper. One moment he's signing with the right hand, the next he's signing with the left hand. Well, that's old pedo Joe, right? the guy is so decrepit and so senile, right? Old pedo Joe, that he doesn't know which way is up. But still, the executive orders are coming out, and I'll talk more about it in a little bit, but domestic terrorism bill is being considered, and that's a whole nother level of tyranny. And I'll talk more about this, but the Secretary of Defense, a black gentleman, I'm going to use the term gentleman very loosely, he's put out an order standing down the military for 60 days until they root out all these extremists, all these white nationalists, all these white supremacists, all these racist and domestic terrorists. You see, they're casting a wide net. White nationalists, well, if you're white, which is most of the population of America, white Christian, okay, you just go down the line of all the things they're trying to eradicate, but white nationalists, so anyone who wants to put America as a nation first, everyone who is proud of being an American, because America is a nation, anyone who basically believes in traditional American values, well, now they're white nationalists, white extremists, white domestic terrorists. And the Secretary of Defense of the United States has decided to stand down the military so they can root out all these enemies of the state, right? So that's what's going on today. Domestic terrorist bill is being put through by Representative Brad Schneider of Illinois, and it's for combating the threat of domestic terrorism and white supremacy. There you go. And here's another one. This is from the Daily Mail from the UK, and it says, what's the dateline here? Well, this just came out a few days ago. Biden's Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, will order troops to stand down in the next 60 days to, quote, address white nationalism and extremism in the ranks. Austin said there will be a pause in regular activities in the next 60 days. He underscored the need to rid the military of racists and extremists, quote, unquote. Austin made history when he was confirmed as first black defense secretary. It comes after former military members participated in the Capitol siege, and they're milking that for all it's worth. The Capitol siege. It's now a siege, right? And all of that was a setup, of course. We all know it was a setup. The Capitol Police let those Antifa types in. It was all a setup. You had Horn Boy there. He was just a crisis actor, probably under mind control. And the fact that there were some, you know, of course, in a crowd that large outside of the Capitol building and around the Washington, D.C. area on that date, of course there's going to be ex and active duty military people. But the spin is that they're all a bunch of dangerous domestic extremist terrorist types, you see. So everyone's being tarred with the same brush if they just happen to be there. Let's see, it's February 4th, 2021, updated 6:04 a.m., 5th February, 2021. The U.S. military on Wednesday acknowledged it was unsure about how to address white nationalism and other extremism in its ranks, and consider that whites make up the majority of people in the U.S. military. They're just going after everyone now. And announced plans for military-wide stand-downs, pausing regular activity at some point in the next 60 days to tackle the issue. The decision to hold a stand-down was made by Lloyd Austin, who made history by becoming the military's first black defense secretary after a long career rising in the ranks of the Army. Oh, they had him pegged out. In his confirmation hearing, Austin underscored the need to rid the military of racists and extremists. Of course he would say that. A stand-down order means taking the military off an offensive footing, but does not mean all military operations would stop at once. The Pentagon did not define whether stand-downs pausing regular activity across the U.S. military might last minutes or hours, or what commanders would do during that time to express opposition to extremism. Subsequent orders will be issued from the Pentagon. And they have a picture of this Lloyd Austin creature. He looks like a reptile, if there ever was one. And of course, they make a big deal about these people purportedly, according to the lying media, active duty military people dressed in combat in military garb, and they were walking in a row, and they had their hands over the shoulder of the person in front of them as if they were stacked up going in on dynamic entry, right? And they're working their way through the crowd, and of course it's being filled from every angle. And so the media is freaking out. Oh, look at these people. They're all military, and they've got combat gear on, and that's how they look when they're stacked up, ready to, you know, barge into a building and shoot the place up, right? So they keep showing video of several people in military garb, and these are clearly, if they're a military at all, they're deep state military, or contractors, or just crisis actors. And they're working their way through a crowd, single file, with their arms, the right hand on the shoulder, the right shoulder of the person in front of them. And they're making an issue like these people are ready to storm the Capitol building, right? And look what they did. They're doxing these people, not the ones that were stacked up, but just some of the people that were arrested or known to be at the Capitol riots, so-called, right? When everything's a spin, as we know. Everything's a distortion or inversion. I mean, since May, the last May, Antifa and BLM are just running amok and burning places down and attacking people. But, of course, that's all described as peaceful protests. But this big setup they had at the Capitol, I mean, it really served no useful purpose. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, the whole setup, whether it was something that Trump had in mind or he had no idea the outcome of what was going to happen. Of course, whatever Trump's intentions were, however noble they were, someone was going to take the opportunity to create an incident to demonize all. It used to be just, well, I can't say used to be, because whites and people with constitutionalist philosophies in the military have been demonized for a long time now. We have to remember that the people that are all about control and are running things in the military, in the federal agencies, the key players, in many cases, these are literally the descendants of Trotskyites and Bolsheviks, right? I mean, they're literally, some of these people are literally the descendants of Trotskyites and Bolsheviks. They're literally the descendants of mass murderers. And they've just risen in the ranks, not really risen in the ranks, they were pegged, and they were moved up, and now they hold all these key positions. Because all these people show up with flags, because they're Americans and they're proud Americans, and many of them are active duty or retired military people, and they're proud, they wear their, you know, retired military hats. Oh, no, now they're all domestic extremists. Oh, look, and they happen to be white extremists, too. And they're actually listing the names of some of these people. Military at Capitol riots. Larry Randall Brock, Jr. Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. Ooh, bad. Ashley Babbitt, Air Force veteran. They gun her down. Adam Newbold, retired Navy SEAL. Emily Rainey, Army Psychological Warfare Captain. Now, these two retired people, Randall Brock Jr. and Adam Newbold, retired Navy SEAL, they could be anywhere they want. It's called the First Amendment. It's called the right of peaceable assembly, right? So, you know, the point I'm making is when people say, well, the military has everything under the control, the military have made all these arrests, the military is detaining all these people, which military are they talking about? Because as far as I know, there's only one military. And this military by all outward appearances, seems to be run by the descendants of these Bolsheviks and these Trotskyites. And now we have this angry black guy who happens to be SecDef, and he just wants to root out all the whites, basically. And I talked in a previous podcast how there are so many communists in uniform. There are so many Antifa, BLM types in uniform. A few years back, they may have been second lieutenants, lieutenants, and captains. Now they've been moved up in rank. Now they're lieutenant colonels. They're commanders in the Navy. They're captains. They're colonels. They're moving up. And if you're talking about the leadership of the military, we're not talking about the great patriotic generals and admirals of the past. I'm not talking about duplicitous sewer scum like General George C. Marshall, Chief of Staff of the Army and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in World War II. And then he became Secretary of State after World War II and did his level best and succeeded in handing China to the communists. That's a whole other story. Okay, aside from duplicitous sewer scum like General George C. Marshall, there were some really patriotic American generals and admirals back in those days. There are not any at flag rank today. There are not any. I will come right out and say that. Because the system will root out anyone who has constitutionalist, libertarian, Republican, in the true sense of the word, not this rhino GOP nonsense, but constitutional Republican mentality and philosophy. America first. No foreign entanglements. No pointless wars. No senseless foreign aid to countries that are going to, you know, harm the U.S., etc., etc., etc. All those people have been weeded out. So the great admirals and generals from World War II days and, you know, moving forward into the 50s and the 60s, they're all gone. And they haven't been replaced. You can put that in the bank. There would probably be constitutionalists up to the rank of colonel or in the Navy, captain, their equivalent colonel captain. I can see how there could be a lot of constitutionally minded colonels and captains. Very few of them would advance to flag rank, general or admiral. You'd have to read the book About Face by the late Colonel David Hackworth. And he talked about this process of ticket punching, where these prospective generals and admirals, when they're still colonels and captains, as David Hackworth said, they begin to see stars in their eyes. They begin to sniff the possibility of being an admiral or a general. And then everything about them changes. Their philosophy, their outlook. And they go around getting their ticket punched. They go to the war college, do a stint there, they get their ticket punched there. They go to the Command and General Staff College, they get their ticket punched there. They go to the Air Warfare College, they get their ticket punched there. They go to civilian college, get their bachelor's degree, their BS, get their ticket punched there. So when you see these guys, increasingly women, testifying before Congress, and they have this whole chest full of ribbons, and those aren't combat ribbons. Those are I was there ribbons. This ribbon signifies went to the Command and General Staff College. This ribbon signifies they went to the Naval War College, right? That's what that means. It looks impressive. And the late Colonel David Hackworth, who survived assassination attempts, by the way, because he blew the whistle on the American failed effort in Vietnam. And I remember seeing it when he stated, for the record, on camera, that the Vietnam War was unwinnable and the American Army and the American military was losing in Vietnam. And they didn't want to hear that. And they tried to kill him. They tried to blow him up. whether it was Army Counterintelligence Corps or the CIA or somebody. Somebody tried to bump him off in Vietnam. And Colonel Hackworth, in his book, had a name for these wannabe admirals and generals. He called them perfume princes. Perfume princes. He went on to describe these people. These are the worst kind of commanders to have in wartime, because they're just going to get you killed for no obvious reason. So, the way the system is set up now, you're either going to find full-on psychopaths at flag rank, admiral or general, or you're going to have these perfume princes who just follow orders, these deadly do-rights, who just told what to do, and they, because they really can't think for themselves, they believe what they're doing is for the good. That's who's running the military now. And this notion that, oh, well, American soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines would never, ever, ever shoot at Americans? I can believe that a lot of them wouldn't. But then again, they're going to ensure that the right people fill the ranks. And if they're rooting out, literally rooting out, all of these people who are generally tarred with the same brush and labeled as domestic extremist, white nationalist, white supremacist, and keeping in mind that they've opened the door to so many immigrants from Latin America and other countries to join the military, right? Oftentimes they're promised citizenship upon enlisting, and you know, these people are put in uniform and they don't have any loyalty to the United States. In the same way that they're trying to push laws making it not a requirement to show identification to vote in America, right? As part of the Democratic Bolshevist strategy, just to bring in hordes of illegals and then give them all the right to vote and make it so they don't have to show identification. Now think about that. Everyone else, citizens in particular, you have to show 2-3 forms of ID, right? Just to go here, there, everywhere. Buy firearms, you know, board a plane. Yeah, who are you? And you know, prove to us 3 times over who you are, right? And now, because of COVID, they have to, so many places require these phone apps, these locator apps, you know, that prove you were there at what time. Oh, no, but these illegals, no. Let's let them all in and make it a law so it's illegal, essentially, to ask them to show proof of ID, so you know, requiring them to vote. No. That's all out the window now. So, give them the right to vote. Put them in uniform, put a rifle in their hands. And, you know, that's one of the ways they get around the issue of soldiers who don't, or Marines who don't want to shoot at Americans. But you know what? There's been a lot of trigger-happy American cops, many of them ex-military, that happily gunning down Americans, mostly white, by the way. Okay? Most of the people in the last 10 years or so who've been gunned down by cops in America have been white, outnumber blacks, okay? So, there's no shortage of cops gunning down people in America, because a lot of them fit a psychological profile. They don't want people who have compassion and empathy to be a cop or a sheriff or a deputy sheriff. They want someone who fits the bill as a psychopath, as a control freak. Look at these federal agencies. When you see these multiple jurisdictional task forces raiding somebody because he's got raw milk on his property, and you look at some of these thugs that are there, some of these feds, and you look at their short, close-cropped hair, that guy is ex-military. They have no qualms pointing guns at children because, you know, perish the thought, there's raw milk on the property. So, in these multiple jurisdictional task force raids, state, local, federal, there's a fair sprinkling of ex-military people in those multiple jurisdictional task forces that conduct these raids on farmers and you know, people in like raw milk combines and what have you. They have no qualms. And these people are I mean, they fit a psychological profile. So this notion that no American soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors will ever shoot an American citizen, I don't buy that. All you have to do is look back at history. What about the War of Northern Aggression when Lincoln asked for 75,000 volunteers to invade the South? What the hell was that? They burned the South from one end to the other. Those are fellow Americans that they were, you know, wiping out down there besides the Confederate soldiers. What about the bonus marchers? Thousands of Americans signed on to enlist in the U.S. military to go fight in Europe in World War I. The war was extended needlessly. It was extended long enough to get the U.S. involved. That's a whole other story. Because the Germans were ready to, and the Austrians were ready to have an armistice, but that wasn't good enough for the powers that be. They had to keep pushing it until Germany was invaded, and everything just went to hell from there. Paris Peace Treaty, all that stuff. Everything just went to hell in a handbasket. But the point of relevance is, thousands of Americans enlisted with the understanding that after they got out of their service, they would be awarded a bonus for enlisting. Well, after World War I, here comes a depression, and then thousands of these former military people who served in Europe in World War I, they went to Washington, D.C. They were known as the bonus marchers. They went to Washington, D.C. to get their bonuses, which they were promised. Who was the chief of staff of the Army at the time? General Douglas MacArthur. He says, oh, these people are communists. Oh, there could have been a sprinkling of communists here and there amongst them, of course. These commies are everywhere, right? But no, these are mostly just destitute, hungry, impoverished former veterans who'd served honorably in the First World War, who basically said, you guys made a deal with us. We enlist, we fight, you give us a bonus. Well, we enlisted, we fought, we didn't get a bonus. You double-crossed us, and now we're here in Washington, D.C. We want our money. What does General Douglas MacArthur do? He turns the army loose on them. He actually had, you know, their little tanks that they had in those days rolling down the street. They went to the encampments of these bonus marchers, used tear gas on them. A lot of these bonus marchers brought their children, their families with them. They came from all over the, all across the U.S. So they sent the military, the army, after the bonus marchers, burned down their encampments. They bayonet and shoot and fire tear gas at the bonus marchers. Okay? That's a clear example of the military being used, not only on just, I don't want to say just, but not only on Americans, quote unquote, but their in many cases their fellow combat veterans. So that's just one example. And then when it comes back to the notion of the military, it's like, well, again, which military is going to stop all this from happening? That's what I would like to know. The same military that went along with the 9/11 con, NORAD was stood down, Air Defense Command was sending squadrons hither, thither, and yon out into the ocean. Like, which military? The military involved in Iran-Contra? not just intelligence, not just NSA and CIA people, but there are military people involved in that, and military intelligence people. Providing money and arms to the Iranians, and then on the other hand, running drugs out of Central America. You talking about that military? And how about all the smuggling, the heroin trafficking out of the Golden Triangle? Read the book, Crimes of Patriots, by Jonathan Quitney. That went to the highest levels, all that drug trafficking. To the highest levels of Pacific Command in Hawaii, and also to the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. They were, it's not an urban legend, they were putting the drugs in the bodies of certain deceased military personnel and sending them back stateside. Are we talking about that military? They're going to stand up? They're going to fix all this? We have to be realistic about this. And a lot of people that, and I have hope, I believe we're going to turn this around eventually. Because I'm just not looking at these, you know, hybridized serpent sewer scum here on the surface. They're going to get what's coming to them. I'm talking about the Draco Orion Empire itself. That's going to go one of these days. They're the ones behind all this. They're just using these human reptilian hybrid plantation managers to do all this crap. But, you know, the people that are, you know, fed on the hopium, is what some people call it, they just keep kicking the can further down the road. Oh, you know, on such and such date, Supreme Court's going to rule in our favor. That didn't happen. On such and such date, Congress is going to, that didn't happen. Such and such date, Vice President Pence is going to, that didn't happen. Okay, Digital Joe is inaugurated, right? Oh, it's all part of the plan. And now, like, people are talking about, you know, something's going to happen at the Super Bowl, and that's going to turn all this around, or something's going to happen in March, it's going to turn all this around. They just keep kicking the can further and further down the road. And meanwhile, this defense secretary has issued a stand-down order. Meanwhile, they're trying to push this domestic extremism bill across. Remember, perception is reality. It's whether it's Digital Joe or Pedo Joe or somebody, someone is signing off on these executive orders, basically rendering null and void the executive orders that Trump signed off on, and then adding a whole slew of all these freedom-destroying executive orders. Well, why aren't the military stopping that? So again, which military are we talking about is supposed to fix all this? The military that bombed Yugoslavia, bombed Serbia for 77 days under the Clinton administration? And remember, if these psychopaths, reptile hybrids, get their way, and a lot of them are full-blooded reptiles that just look like they're human or semi-human, there may be a war with Iran and or China. And it's all part of a script, right? Basically. And, you know, that's not going to end well for a lot of American servicemen. You're dealing with, you know, hypersonic anti-ship missiles that are maneuverable, that the Chinese now have. And they have, you know, tremendous range. Basically renders these carrier battle groups, which they used to always blow smoke about, you know, power projection and carrier battle groups, this and that. Well, you know, not so much anymore with the kind of weaponry some of these countries like China and Russia can yield. And don't forget all the submarines that some of these countries have, right? China used to be a country that hugged its coastal waters. Now they're a deep blue navy. They're spread out all over the world now, and they've got their tentacles and hooks into so many countries. They own so many ports in America, And if you're just going to rate the militaries, you know, who is the best trained? The American military doesn't even rate favorably compared to the British Army. The British Army is always, has been for a long time, post-World War II, a better trained military force than the Americans. They're a smaller force. They have to be better trained. They have to emphasize training of the individuals. So, whether it comes to warfare against Russia, China, or some other country, you know, the Americans are going to struggle. And then, on the other hand, if it comes to turning the American military loose on the American people, don't be surprised if a significant number of American, what appear to be American soldiers and whatnot, shoot on Americans. It's happened before. But they can always get around that problem by invoking Article 5 of the NATO Charter and bringing all these foreign troops. Many of them have been in the U.S. all along anyway. So, you know, just keep all this in mind. I want this thing to turn around as well, but to just believe that all this stuff is happening behind the scenes and the military is under control and the mass arrests have already started, etc., etc. Meanwhile, all this tyranny just continues. I need more than that to hang my hat on, okay? And I'm not being a glass half empty type here. I'm coming from the perspective of someone who's a student of history. I spent time in the military intelligence community. I know how a lot of things work. I've spoke to a lot of people over the years with a military intelligence background, a special ops background. I can speak the same language as them. And I can make them comfortable enough where they open up to me, right? If I can make people open up to me about all their alien abduction experiences and my lab stuff, believe me. You know, if I can sit down with an ex-military guy who's, you know, I get an idea they've served in a certain part of the world, and I can develop a rapport with that person and gain their confidence and assure them that I won't betray their confidence. Yes, I can get these people to open up. And I have in the past many times, countless times. Because I would strike up conversations with these people. I often knew the history of their commands better than they did. So, you know, when I'm telling you this, I'm not just blowing smoke at you. I'm not trying to pour water on somebody's parade or something, or rain on someone's parade. What I would like to see, and now, it's not really up to me to decide what other people should feel or think or hope for, but there's just a lot of unfounded, unverified, unvalidated analysis being passed as expertise, right? And some of these people that are out there blowing smoke, you know, like, look at Stuart Rhodes for the Oath Keepers. How many people know that? You can look this up. Chuck Baldwin, he's a Christian minister, very outspoken against the New World Order. He used to be the national chaplain for the Oath Keepers organization until several months back last year. He resigned, and here's the reason why he resigned. Stuart Rhodes wrote an open letter to all the governors of all 50 states of America insisting they conduct what a lot of them eventually did, a complete shutdown of society because of COVID. Just shut down the economy, shut down businesses, shut down all human activity to protect us from COVID, or what they were called coronavirus back then. Well, it still is, but it's more popularly known as coronavirus when it first made headlines. So here's a constitutional, a person who describes himself as a constitutional expert, writing a letter to all the governors of America, insisting, insisting that they shut down businesses, shut down human activity, which they did all these things anyway. So somehow Stuart Rhodes kind of knew the game plan, didn't he? But what someone should have asked him was, well, that's not very, you know, what's that got to do with the Constitution, Stuart? You know? Chuck Baldwin did. Chuck Baldwin resigned. He was very public about it. I can no longer be your national chaplain for the Oath Keepers, because the letter you wrote referring to Stuart Rhodes, and you can find this on Chuck Baldwin's Facebook page, surprise is still there, saying, you know, this letter you wrote, what the hell has that got to do with the Constitution? You're demanding that all these state governors shut down the economy, shut down businesses, shut down everything. That's a red flag. And there's a lot of well-meaning people out there that still, you know, lend credence to the things that Stuart Rhodes says. I don't. Because he wanted to shut down society, basically. And he described himself as a constitutionalist, right? I don't buy that. And Stuart Rhodes can't big shot me either. You know why? Because I've been at the sharp end. I've been at the sharp end in more ways than one. Right? A lot of people can blow smoke about, oh, you know, I'm standing up for the Republic and this or that. You know, that's not very constitutional of the guy. Okay? Now, saying all that, I do not preclude the possibility that there could be this rebel faction or rebel factions of the military at work trying to undermine this. I want to be very clear about that. I'm not giving myself like a disclaimer, a clause, just so in case, you know, the good guys do rear up and rectify all this, I can point and say, oh, no, I always thought that they were there. What I'm saying is, there are a lot of practical difficulties for a military force within the existing force structure to rectify this. I've talked about this in a previous podcast. They would have to have their own standalone comms. They would have to have total self-sufficiency. They'd have to be able to move money around without being noticed. They'd have to be able to thoroughly vet everyone within their ranks, make sure none of them are traitors or none of them are under mind control. None of them are being surveilled and monitored. That's a big ask. That's a tall order. It can be done. I'm not saying it cannot be done. That's why I'm saying I do not preclude the possibility of a rebel faction or factions of military and ex-military people. I know that there was one back in the day. In the 1990s, there was a group called the Resistors, a group within Army Special Forces, active duty and retired, that were actively standing up to this. I used to get their periodicals. And so I know they exist, right? It's just there are practical difficulties to turning all this stuff around, and maybe in another podcast I'll delve into that more. But I just wanted to put this information out to give people a more balanced perspective about what I feel is going on. And always for people to remember also that we don't necessarily need the military or anyone to turn this around. This is something that we could do. We don't have to rely on anyone. And if you look back to the Revolutionary War, George Washington took over a ragtag group of American colonials. They were not a standing army. He was a Virginian. He went up to New England, an outsider basically, and took over a ragtag group of people who had just had enough of tyranny. So he had to put them in the military discipline. He had to restore order in the ranks. Right? That was a tall order. But they were not an army to begin with, as we understand the term. Okay? He had to start from scratch, basically. And George Washington actually also had to create a secret navy. Not many people realize that. It's not that easy to do, to create a secret navy under the noses of the British Royal Navy, which ruled the oceans back then. Okay? I mean, you just got to start from the ground up. But it can be done. The Revolutionary War is an example of that, right? We just don't want it, well, can't say we don't want it to. We would ideally like it end up in a way that's relatively bloodless, but and then you look at the American Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, you look at the civil wars in Rome, right? Roman legions that had previously fought side by side, were blood brothers, were now pitted against each other. Because one legion would be under Caesar, another legion would be under Magnus, Pompey Magnus. And just the fortunes of war, twist of fate, now they're just battling each other, right? Slaughtering each other. That's the way it goes. So I want to point this out and say that, yes, I hope there is a rebel faction, but I'm not going to hang my hat on that possibility. We've got to do what we have to do internally and within our circle of influence, and not be reliant upon anyone else getting this thing done, which is total human freedom in all its forms, spiritually, energetically, all that. That's pretty much it for that topic, and I'll provide the relevant links to some of the subjects that I discussed. In the members section, I'm going to talk about soul captures. I'm going to talk about soul manipulation. I'm going to talk about embodied souls and soulless beings. Okay, this is kind of like heavy-duty, hardcore stuff that most surface-level types, like the aforementioned Stuart Rhodes and people like him, wouldn't be prepared to deal with. But, you know, my colleagues and I, that's the level that we deal with this at, right? It's, you know, the soul level. Anyhow, you've been listening to Bartley's commentaries in the Cosmic Wars. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment for the members. Thank you.